This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Fresh new highs for the price of oil. From APM in New York, I'm Matt Nesto in for David Brancaccio. Oil prices are on the rise again, extending a rally that's now seen the price go from 47 to 62 in less than a month. It's a 30% swing that's having a profound impact on global energy markets. BBC economics correspondent Andrew Walker is following this story and joins us now. So, Andrew, what do you think is behind this rally?
Well, there probably is something of that going on. We saw a very interesting thing quite recently, which is Saudi Arabia increased the prices that it's charging to North America, but especially to Northwestern Europe. That was seen in the markets as a sign that the Saudis reckon that there is increased demand. Having said that, there is a view that I've seen, particularly from Barclays, that it's a bit of a case of the market getting the cart before the horse. They're anticipating a supply and demand response before it's really got going in earnest.
What do you make of the weekly oil inventory reports are due out in the U.S. later today? Analysts think we might see a backup, but this is a notoriously volatile weekly calculation.
Yeah, it certainly is volatile. It does, over the slightly longer term, though, give us a decent flavour for just how much oil is, if you like, going out at the other end. And in the kind of environment we're in at the moment, where there is a perhaps rather unexpected spike in prices, I think, you know, a volatile response is even more likely than usual, and markets perhaps will be inclined to put a little bit more weight on these numbers than they might normally do.
The BBC's Andrew Walker, thank you.
My pleasure, Matt.
Let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is up about 0.2% right now, the day ahead of their elections. The Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are all also up about 0.2% in pre-market trading. Checking on the price of NYMEX crude, it is up 2.5% at $61.98. Reforming the criminal justice system has become a rallying cry for both the left and the right, and that includes proposals to shift away from harsh sentencing rules that have been seen prison populations swell. Where does this leave the for-profit prison industry? One big operator, the Corrections Corporation of America, will report its earnings today. Marketplace's Dan Weissman takes a look.
The factors that drove double-digit growth for prison companies are largely in the past, like ever harsher sentencing laws that bloomed in the 1980s and 1990s. CCA has adjusted. Kevin McVeigh is managing director with Macquarie Research. He watches the company.
You know, while it's still a very healthy industry, the rate of growth isn't what it had been historically. And as a result of that, they started to generate meaningful amounts of free cash flow.
Meaning the company made money operating existing prisons, but it didn't have new projects to invest that money into. So in 2013, it reorganized into a different kind of entity, a real estate investment trust, or REIT for short.
Because it comes with a lot of tax advantages.
That's Carl Takei, an attorney with the ACLU's National Prison Project. A REIT pays out most of its earnings in dividends, and the result can be a better tax deal for both investors and the company. Typically, REITs own rental properties. The income comes from occupants. In CCA's case, the company is still essentially collecting rent, just not from the occupants themselves. In Chicago, I'm Dan Weissman for Marketplace.
British voters are set to take part in the tightest national election in decades in a contest where no clear overall winner is likely to emerge. But there's an intriguing possibility. The Scottish National Party, or SNP, which seeks separation of Scotland from the rest of the UK, could well hold the balance of power, and they're pushing hard for one huge change in their own backyard. Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports.
She hates being part of the United Kingdom, but the Scottish National Party leader Nicola Sturgeon seems to be enjoying the UK general election campaign.
It's a real pleasure once again to stand in my home city.
In Glasgow, the feisty Sturgeon addresses a big, enthusiastic crowd. Surging support for her party in Scotland could deprive the Labour Party of overall control of Parliament. She says she'd be happy to join forces with Labour to form a government, but with an important red line.
A formal deal with a Labour government that wants to renew Trident is not going to happen. If we're not in a formal deal, we'll vote on an issue-by-issue basis and we won't vote for Trident.
The weapons officer has my permission to fire.
You have permission to fire.
Trident is the UK's submarine nuclear missile system based in Scotland.
Fire. 10, channel 1. 10 away.
Britain must soon decide whether to renew the $150 billion nuclear deterrent. The Labour leader, Ed Miliband, wants to, but if he strikes a deal with the SNP, that could change, claims the current Defence Minister, Michael Fallon.
Can you really trust him not to put the nuclear deterrent on the bargaining table? A chip to be tossed away in some shabby backroom deal with the SNP.
Ed Miliband's indignant response.
I will never compromise our national security. I will never negotiate away our national security.
With Labour and the Conservatives committed to Trident, renewal does seem likely. But the SNP's Nicola Sturgeon is using the election to whip up opposition. Unveiling her manifesto, she made a seductive financial case for scrapping the deterrent.
We will vote for the £100 billion that would be saved to be invested instead in education, better childcare and the National Health Service.
She believes with the UK's public finances still under pressure, Trident is indefensible. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Today marks the fifth anniversary of the so-called flash crash on Wall Street, that infamous 1,000-point swing in the Dow that set off an avalanche of panic. Selling, then buying. There's lots of new constraints, but rare is the regulator who will say, never again. In New York, I'm Matt Nesta with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.